Good morning. Let's give God a clap offering for that amazing prayer and fasting week. This morning, let me share with you some quotations about prayer. Everybody, read this together with me. Every prayerless day is a statement by a helpless individual, I do not need God today. Did you pray this morning? Wonderful. Everybody read this. Failing to pray reflects idolatry, a trust in substitutes for God. Your prayer life is a thermometer. It measures your relationship with God. The more you are dependent upon Him, the more you will pray. The more you love the Lord, the more you will pray. And then in the process, as you pray, the more you will love Him. As you pray, the more you get to know Him. So it's a cycle. I don't know about you, but I praise God for this 1 week of prayer and fasting. It has impacted my life again and again. Everybody read this. If God wants us to pray without ceasing, it is because He wants to answer us without ceasing. Okay? Let's turn our Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. This morning, I want to teach you, by the grace of God, on how to pray for others, on how to pray for yourself. Many times, I've seen young believers, they don't know how to pray. The truth is, we all need to learn how to pray. Years ago, when I brought my son to Korea to learn about how they prayed, we were asked to pray for 2 hours in a cave. So we all went to our prayer caves, prayer cell, and my son told me, after 10 minutes, he thought it was 2 hours already, he came out. Then he looked at his watch. It's only 10 minutes. Because it is not easy to learn how to pray, to talk to the Lord. When I went to the prayer tour, I had a problem also praying. Because I usually just pray for myself. Then I began to learn the importance of praying for others. So, we will look at a scriptural prayer. You want to learn how to pray? Yes or no? Right? This is a sample prayer. You can copy. I call this a scriptural prayer. Because it is inspired by God. The Lord inspired the Apostle Paul. It was recorded in the Bible. And this is exactly what God wants us to become. Because this is the prayer inspired by God. You want to learn how to become a better Christian? Let's look at this prayer. You pray for yourself. You pray for your friends. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 10. You want to pray for people? This is how you can pray for them. Everybody read. For this reason, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you, to ask that you be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. The first thing He prayed for is knowledge. They be filled with the knowledge of His will. The second thing He asked for is their walk. Look at verse 10. So that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. The purpose of knowledge is so that we can learn to walk, to please God. But then He did not stop there. He tells us our biggest problem. Our biggest problem is we don't have power to do what we know is right. So He prayed for them, everybody. Strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. Joyously, you connect verse 11 and 12. They are not to be separated. Joyously what? Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Somebody who is walking in the power of God is a joyful Christian, a thankful Christian. How do I know that you are filled with the Spirit of God? I look at you. If you are not joyful, if you are not grateful, you are not experiencing God's power. Because God's power transcends circumstances. God's power transcends problems with people. You can joyously give thanks because your focus is different. Do you need power? I don't know about you. I always need God's power. It is one thing to know. It is another thing to do it. So this prayer, you can pray for yourself, but I'd like you to use this prayer. You pray for me. That I will always increase in my knowledge of God's will. That I will learn to walk, please Him in all respect. And that I will have the power to be steadfast. I will have the power to be patient. I will have the power to to be thankful. I want to be a happy, joyful Christian. What about you? By the way, that's the message. You can go home already. Do you want us to expand on this? Everybody, let's read this. Prayer does not equip us for greater works. Prayer is the greater work. You may not realize this. Sometimes you are so busy, and you have the tendency to say, I'm so busy, I don't have time to pray. On the contrary, if you are so busy, you better pray. I was sharing with somebody, and I said, if you pray, 5 minutes, 1 hour spending with God will be more productive than you working for 100 years. The moment God will bless you, my friend, it doesn't matter how hard you have worked in the past, how you have failed in the past. When God's hand is upon us, everything will change. Yes or no? Therefore, you got to learn to hunger and seek after God. During this 1 week of fasting and praying, I was so touched and blessed. I seldom see this whole place filled with people Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. How many of you were here even just for one night? Raise your hands. Were you amazed at the number of people coming? It's amazing. Somebody share this with me. If people come for Sunday messages, many times they want to hear the pastor. But if they come during prayer meeting, it is because they want to seek the Lord. And I praise God for many of you. You came to seek the Lord. And it is more profitable to seek the Lord than to seek your pastor. Because the Lord is everything. Would you like us to continue fasting and praying? You know, these are the reports I got just this week alone. And I will not give everything. This is what happened. There was a brother who has not spoken to another brother for 2 years. There was hurt feeling. They didn't talk for each other for 2 years. I got a text. He fasted and prayed, and the Lord laid it upon him to go see the person. And believe it or not, when you fast and pray, God will open doors. And he met the person. And praise God, the relationship is restored. Is God amazing? I tell you. I have a similar experience. There's a brother who has stopped coming to CCF in San Francisco. For whatever reason, he was disappointed with Christian, discouraged, and I was burdened. And when I would text him, there was no response. I fasted and prayed. Would you believe? As I fasted and prayed, the Lord impressed upon my heart, you go see this brother. So I went to see him. And praise God. He opened his door. He welcomed us. To God be the glory. Now, if you think fasting and prayer deals with relationship only, there was a member, I asked permission from her to share. She wanted to go to the Holy Land. So she began to fast and pray. She did not tell anyone. She just fasted and prayed. I don't know whether the second night, the third night, during fasting and praying right here in CCF, one of our members approached her out of the blue, told her, you know, God impressed upon my heart as we were praying that I will pay for your down payment, $500, to go to the Holy Land tour. Here's the check. You go. And then, that same night, somebody approached her. I'm going to give you $200 for you to go to the Holy Land tour. She was shocked. And then another person called her. The Lord is impressing upon my heart to give you $100 to go to the Holy Land tour. Do you think it is God's will for this lady to go to the Holy Land tour? I tell you, you got to be deaf and not to listen to what God is telling you. So she registered. I told Bam, this is one girl. You make sure she is able to join the Holy Land tour. Is God amazing? There you go. I was fasting and praying. And I prayed for our building project. Because this is something that is, I know God wants us to have. It is very sad, look around you, where people are standing. It is very sad for me if bricks and mortars will limit the work of God. Many people would like to come. Many more souls can be saved. But they cannot come. We are full. We have people in the overflowing room. We are thinking how to expand some more. Anyway, God has laid upon us the leadership. We are going to build our new worship center our new facility, and you pray for the architect. I was praying for the architect. I was praying for the design, finalizing everything, the costing. I was praying for the money, how it will come. Would you believe it? As I was fasting and praying with many of you, after the fasting and praying night, I think it was either Tuesday, Wednesday night, so I was leaving, somebody came to me, one of our members. I don't even know him personally. He gave me an envelope. I didn't bother to look at it. When I went to my office, I looked at it. It was a check for a building project, a seven-figure check. You know how much is seven-figure? It's a big amount. And then there was a pledge, big amount also. I got excited. I told the pastors, I've discovered how to raise money. Just fast and pray. So will you all fast and pray? Pray that God provides. Because my prayer is, by this year, we will start the construction. So I'm discussing with the elders, the building committee, and you pray that you give the elders and the building committee members the faith to believe that it's time to build this year. Amen? So you pray for us. Praise God. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1 and see how we can pray for people. Number 1, he prayed for knowledge. Everybody read this. For this reason, since the day we heard of it, he heard about the Colossian believers, Paul said, we have not ceased to pray for you. The best thing you can do for people is to pray for them. The best thing you can do for me, look at me now, pray for me. Promise? You pray for me. If possible, pray for me every day. Pray for my family every day. People often ask me, what can we do for you? We want to show you our gratitude. The best, you pray for me. Make a commitment to pray for me daily, my family, the ministry. We have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. This is true prayer. True prayer is not telling God what to do. True prayer is listening. Look at this prayer. That you and I will be filled with the knowledge of His will. Why is that important? Friends, many times we are too busy to listen to God. You need to have your mind transformed. He prayed for knowledge. What kind of knowledge? Everybody read one more time. We have not ceased to pray for you. Number one, to ask that all of you will be filled with what? The knowledge of His will. The word filled is used to describe a boat fully loaded with provisions, ready to sail. It's a beautiful picture for Christians. You are ready to serve the Lord. How? Be filled with the knowledge of His will. That word filled is also used to mean to be controlled. The Bible says be filled by the Holy Spirit, to be controlled by the Spirit. God wants us to be controlled by the knowledge of His will, not our will. Ladies and gentlemen, somebody made this quotation that became famous. In this century, we have discovered that the mind affects the body. What you think affects your behavior. Remember, I used to say this, right action will lead to, many times, right behavior. Wrong thinking leads to wrong behavior. Say that with me. Wrong thinking leads to wrong behavior. Right thinking usually leads to right behavior. If you want to change somebody, you focus on the way he thinks. Don't focus on the superficial, on their behavior. You find out what they are thinking. The Word of God is God's weapon to combat wrong thinking. You see, thinking affects the way you behave. I have this amazing video, somebody shared this with me, to show you the power of right thinking versus wrong thinking. You want to see this video? All right, let's see this video. Thank you. Wrong thinking. Wrong behavior. You see, many times we underestimate what God is teaching us. God says, you must take your thoughts captive. You are to be responsible with the way you think. But the problem is this. We usually have wrong thinking. By the way, one of the purposes of fasting and praying is for you to listen to God. For God to correct the way you think. Because many times we are on emotion. Robotic motion. You just keep on doing what you are doing. You are too busy to take a break. So fasting and praying is amazing. Would you like to continue this discipline of fasting and praying? You know, I'm proposing we don't stop fasting and praying. Starting this week, I'm proposing, and I'm encouraging all of you, one day a week, all of us will continue fasting. I'm proposing we choose Wednesday. Understand? Every Wednesday, you will either fast one meal, two meals, three meals, every Wednesday. We will fast and pray. You will fast for the country. You will fast for yourself, for your family. Make that a gift. It's called a Wednesday gift for your children. I will fast and pray for my children. I will fast and pray for you. Is that okay with you? Now, remember, you are not forced to join us, but I'm encouraging all the pastors, all of us here in CCF, you make Wednesday a special day to fast and pray. The early church fasted every Wednesday and Friday. If you study church history, after Christ, for hundreds of years, they practiced the discipline of fasting and praying. I want us to recapture God-given weapon of spiritual health, which is fasting and praying. So, is it okay with you? Every Wednesday, we will fast and pray. Now, somebody's proposing, and I want you to pray about this. We have dawn watch on Tuesday morning. We gather to pray. Now, someone is proposing, why not do this on Wednesday night also, 7 to 8, on top of your Bible study, D group meeting, you do it, but those of you who are free, come on 7 to 8 for fasting and praying. Do you like it?
Yes.
Well, if you like it, can you clap your hands? You can choose. Some of you, you like to attend dawn watch. Some of you cannot. You got to go to the office. That's fine. Then you come at 7 to 8 on Wednesday night. Some of you cannot come at 7 o'clock to 8 at night because of other things. It's okay. God is not legalistic. You can fast and pray in your room, in your office. Understand? But the idea of getting together is very inspiring. I don't know about you. I get inspired when I see thousands of people praying together for the country, for your family, for your life. Now, this is how you pray. What will you pray for, number one? Knowledge. Right thinking. Many people don't have right thinking, so the behavior is not right. There was a seminar given by a very famous Christian leader. And this seminar was done in the States. He's a very famous speaker. By the grace of God, I got to meet him. He became a friend. In that seminar, there was an attractive girl who was living in with a boyfriend. The girl came to the seminar with the boyfriend. And they were living in. Now, people were talking behind her back. But for her, this is, it's okay. So the speaker spoke to her privately. The speaker said, are you aware that from the Bible, living in is not right? You know what she said? She opened her mouth. Nobody told me this. I've been going to church for a long time, but nobody told me living in is wrong. So he began to show her the verses. She said, I got to do something about this. So she told her boyfriend, what we're doing is wrong. You see, what you think affects your what? Behavior. That's why the prayer is amazing. Look at this prayer. Look at verse 9. We have not ceased to pray for you. How do you pray for people? That you may be filled with the knowledge of His will. With the knowledge of God. To impact your life. Now let me ask you. Why do you need to pray for people? Because the Bible tells us Satan has blinded our eyes. Let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 4, everybody. In whose case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. Let me ask you a question. if you are walking in a very tight pathway, and there is mud on the left side, and you are walking very hard to try to stay away from the mud, and then a group of people push you, and you fell into the mud, how would you feel? Be honest. How would you feel? Angry. When you fall down and you get angry, then you look at the people, you discover they are all blind. They cannot see. Now, how would you feel? Would you get mad and say, what's wrong with you guys? Why are you blind? Would you do that? In Tagalog, you will get mad. Anong problema ninyo? Bakit ibulag? No, no, no. You know why? Because blind people don't see. You know, when I share the gospel with people, when I talk to people about the Lord, and they hurt me, they push me, I don't get angry. Because the Bible says, the God of this world, everybody read that, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. So you have to realize, when you share the gospel, when you talk about Jesus, many people are blind. Now, I will never tell people, when I'm sharing the gospel, your problem is you are blind, you are blind, you are blind. No, no. But you need to know, so you know how to pray. So when I pray for you, when I pray for people, when I pray for my relatives, I say, Lord, open their eyes to know you. Open their eyes so that they will know your will. The gospel is the will of God. In the gospel, you discover, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. In the Bible, you discover the heart of God. He loves us. He wants you to have eternal life. But we are blind. And because they are blind, they cannot see. So when they quarrel with you, when they take advantage of you, what's the reason? Answer? Now, some of you are living with a husband or a wife. Spiritually, they are blind. So you get irritated. You get so irritated. Have you ever asked yourself, how come they keep doing this? Yes or no? Do you have some friends? And they just keep doing the wrong thing again and again and again. And you are so irritated. Yes or no? Maybe the person is sitting beside you, but just don't look at that person, okay? Now, I'm giving you the answer. The answer is, spiritually, you can see. So this is a good prayer. Lord, I pray that they might see. You know, I asked my daughter, the younger generation, what are some blind ideas that young people have today? Are you ready for some blind ideas that young people have today? They sincerely believe. You know, what you believe to be true is going to impact your life. It can be something not true, but you believe it's true. It's gonna impact your life. For example, everyone is doing it. It must be okay. Everyone is doing it. Have you heard of that statement? Blind. What about this one? It does not matter what I do now. Doesn't matter. I'm young. I'm still young. Doesn't matter what I do. What's the truth? The Bible is very explicit. What you sow, you will reap. I taught my children while they were still young. Don't deceive yourself. Don't say a little sin is okay because I'm still young and when I get older, I will change my life. That's a lie. People have to realize whatever you do now, it has an impact. But the Bible tells us we are blinded. Do you realize you can come to Christ, and after coming to Christ, if you're not careful with your walk, you begin to lose sight of reality. So you need to always be alert. That's why watching television and reading all kinds of literature that are not biblical is very dangerous. It will subconsciously affect the way you think. What about this one? I don't have to get serious with God now. I have plenty of time. Have you heard of such argument? I don't have to get serious with God now. I have plenty of time. I will repent when I get old. Have you heard of that argument? Well, for many of us, we cannot say that anymore because we are old already. But can I tell you something? Don't deceive yourself. The Bible tells us you do not know when is the time. Always be ready. See, these are lies. What is very important is this. You pray that God will fill your mind with the knowledge of His will. There is no second guessing. You need to know the will of God and then live accordingly. The Colossians had a problem. Their problem was a lot of people were confusing them about who is Jesus because of the Gnostics. So the book of Colossians tells us God wanted them to know the truth, to know the will of God, to to know who is Jesus. Everybody read this, please. See to it that no one take you captive through philosophy, empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. You know, in reality, life is a choice. You can either believe men, believe the philosophy of men, or you can believe in what God is saying. You can put your faith in the Bible. Many years ago, I made a choice. After studying all the writings, philosophies of men, not all, but a lot of them, I have come to a conclusion: the Bible is the inspired word of God, based on prophecy, based on what's happening to Israel, based on who Jesus is, based on the power of Scripture. But you got to make a choice. Look at the next verse. Who is Jesus? In Him, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. He's talking about who Jesus is. In Jesus, you have been made complete. You see, many times we think we need something else. The truth is, if you get to know Jesus, you have everything. Who is Jesus? Everybody read this. For by Jesus, everybody read, by Jesus, all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, thrones or dominions, rulers or authorities, all things have been created by Him and for Him. My prayer is we will have a high view of Jesus. That's what you need to understand. What is the will of God? Everything will be centered on Jesus. What is the will of God? Someday the whole universe will bow down to Jesus. Someday Jesus will reign as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords of the universe. Everything is going to be centered on Jesus. That is the will of God the Father. And we shall all bow before Jesus. So what you think about Jesus is going to impact your life. If people today don't get serious with Jesus, it is because they don't see. So you and I will have to pray. Your prayer will impact your walk. You see, he says that we will be filled with the knowledge of God, and then our walk, we will walk worthily. Why? Because of this knowledge. Everybody read. Therefore, we have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to God. His ambition is to be pleasing to God. He gives you a reason. Because of Jesus, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. So, ladies and gentlemen, the purpose of praying for people, they will get to know God. They'll get to know the will of God, the will of Jesus. And then their lives will be changed accordingly. So, number one, what must you pray for? Knowledge. Number two, what must you pray for? The walk. So that your life will be such that it will bring honor and glory to God. You see, what you know will impact your behavior. Look at this verse. What is this verse telling us? What should be our ambition? Louder, what should be your ambition? To be pleasing to God. Why? Tell me why. According to this verse, why? Louder. Because we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, some people have been taught the wrong way. They said, if you have come to Christ, it doesn't matter how you live. Nothing is farther from the truth. Salvation is by grace. It's free. When you come to Christ, your sins were paid for by Jesus. But how you live is going to be examined. Somebody once shared this with me. Is it conceivable, is this possible, that when you appear before the judgment of the universe of Christ, there will be a CD player, and then your life will be shown. At that moment, certain things will be embarrassing. Certain things will be awful. But then the Lord Jesus will stand. The Lord Jesus said, all of that is true. But I've died for this person. I've forgiven him. Next, then it's your turn. Your whole life will be reflected before the judge, the King of Kings. And then the accuser will say, look at what he did. Look at what he did. And what will Jesus say? Yes, he did it. But I died for this person. All of his sins have been forgiven. Is that possible? I don't know what's going to happen on Judgment Day. Something I know. I'm going to give an account of my life. One thing I know. I have been forgiven completely because of Jesus. But this I know also. You and I are accountable before God. Salvation is not by works. It's by the grace of God. Are you forgiven?
Yes.
Are you on your way to heaven?
Yes.
Will there be a day of accounting?
Yes.
Now, many of you are in the corporate world. You understand the meaning of you got to watch your walk because you're accountable. Look at Colossians chapter 1. What did it say? In Colossians chapter 1, the Bible says, verse 10, that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work. You see, knowledge is to help us walk. Now, question, how is your walk? In the corporate world, you have annual review. You have maybe every 3 months review, every 6 months review. I want you to imagine now, you are working for this multinational company, and they are having your evaluation. You have been assigned, example, okay, shampoo, this territory. So, during evaluation, you now tell your boss, boss, before you say anything, let me tell you what I did. I helped my friend who is in charge of soap. I spent a lot of time developing the marketing campaign, looking at the shelf in the sales. I helped. And the soap went very well. It became number one. The boss will say, wonderful. But I did not assign you to handle soap. I asked you to handle shampoo. Wait, before you say anything. I did not sleep at night. I helped my friend. I sacrificed my family. But I helped him succeed in soap. Your boss will say, yes, but I did not assign you the soap. I assigned you the shampoo. What happened to the shampoo? Before I tell you, look, what will happen to that employee? What will happen? Louder. You know, someday on Judgment Day, simple question. You stand before God, you are so happy. Your sins have been forgiven. Praise God. The next question He asks you, what did you do with my assignment for you? I made you for a purpose. I gifted you. I have enabled you. And I have assigned this task. What did you do with it? Now you can give all your excuses. You can say, well, you know, I did not like our pastor. I did not like my wife. I did not like my friend. So I decided to just do my own thing. Well, it's up to you. But I'm sharing this with you. You need to pray. Number one, pray for what? Knowledge. Knowledge to know the will of God. What He wants me to do, what He does not want me to do. And this knowledge comes from where? The Bible. Have you read the Bible last year? The whole Bible. Raise your hand. Last year, you read the whole Bible. Raise your hand. Now, the video camera, will you please? This year, by the way, last year somebody came up to me. Pastor, you promised me a gift. You promised us a gift. He claimed his gift. Praise God. I'm going to give it to him. Okay? The gift expired 1 minute ago. Okay? But this year, I will give you another challenge. Pastors are not included. Old Christians are not included. The new ones. Those of you who are new believers, you have not read the entire Bible. You say, Pastor, this year I will read the entire Bible. Alright? You tell me. I will prepare a gift for you. The deal is this. You got to finish reading the entire Bible. Understand? Now, what's the entire Bible? What's the first book? Genesis. What's the last book? Okay, now, don't read Genesis, then read Revelation. Say, I finished, okay? Read the whole Bible, because that is where we find out who God is, what is His will. Why is it important to pray that they will walk properly? You see, it's connected. The Bible says, you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him. It's connected with knowledge. Let me give you an example in the Old Testament. How many of you have heard of Elisha? Elisha. You know, Elisha had a problem. The servant came to him one morning. The servant said, we have a problem. We are surrounded by the Arameans. We are surrounded by the enemies. Thousands and thousands of them. He was scared. Elisha spoke to the servant. Elisha told the servant, relax. Don't be afraid. Is that what Elisha did? Yes or no? Are you familiar with this story? Yes or no? Are you? How come some of you give me, you are giving me a zombie look? You have to understand. Right thinking will produce what? Right emotion, right behavior. You got to walk properly, but you have to have right thinking. So Elisha prayed. The servant had a problem. The servant was nervous. Do you like the song this morning? Said the sparrow to the robin. Or said the robin to the sparrow. Do you like that song? That's one of my favorite. I requested this song because I see many Christians always anxious, always worried. Why are you anxious? Why are you worried? The answer, perhaps you don't understand our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father loves you. He wants to take care of you. But your eyes have to be open. Now, in this case, there was a problem. He answered, Elisha answered the servant. Everybody read. Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Now, before I show you that, the next verse, don't look at the verse now, just look at me. He told the servant, don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Did that help the servant? Why was the servant afraid? Because they were surrounded by enemies. Thousands and thousands of them. Chariots. It's like tanks. You know, Elisha did not get the servant and slap him. Pack, boom, 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 boom. Why are you afraid? No, he simply said, don't be afraid. There are more who are with us than they who are with them. Now, if I were the servant, I will count. Understand? I will count. Elisha, me, plus the dog. Three. Elisha, I'm afraid. There are more of them out there. Elisha said, relax. Relax. There are more with us than they. Now, if you're the servant, what will you do? My boss. My boss needs psychiatric treatment. You see, folks, same incident. Some people will learn to respond properly, biblically, and some people will not. Why? It begins with what? Knowledge. Elisha prayed. What was his prayer? Everybody read. Look at verse 17. Elisha prayed and said, oh Lord, I pray. Open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes. And he saw, behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. You know, many times, I pray for people. I say, Lord, open their eyes. Because if your eyes are not open, you are going to behave in the wrong way. And that's why many people need you to pray for them. Lord, open their eyes. Because if you are blind, you don't see. Your behavior is going to be different. Do you think this servant began to be afraid or he stopped being afraid? He stopped being afraid. You know why? He saw the reality. He saw the power of God. He saw the resources of God that's available. Many of you cannot see the resources of God. That's why you are not excited about the Christian life. And the reason is, you need to pray, Lord, open my eyes to see the reality, the glory of the Lord Jesus. My friend, heaven is a reality. Jesus is a reality. But many of us are focused on this world. We are so much in love in this world because that's the only thing you see. So when you tell people, why don't you get serious with prayer? Why don't you get serious with the Word of God? They cannot see. So don't get angry at people. You pray. So I'm asking all of you to continue fasting and praying one day a week. And you will see what God will do in this country. He will bring a revival. You know why? Because revival is not by us. It's God unleashing His power. Do you think this country will ever be the same if God will open the eyes of the president and all the cabinet members? We will never be the same. It happened in history. Just look at history. When people began to pray, God began to move. And when He moves, the first thing He will do is open the eyes of the blind. And God will use you. Are you living with some people now? Maybe you are blind yourself. You keep on doing the same thing. A sinful pattern. And you think you can get away with it. Friends, open your eyes. You got to see the truth. The truth is something that will transform your life. So open, my friend. You pray. So he prayed. That's the idea. So that your walk will be proper. I was talking to a missionary. Not from CCF. He was a pastor. I know he loves the Lord. But something is not right with him now. I said, you got to take a leave. You go home, be with your family, fix up your family relationship.
This guy wants to serve God. But I said, you got to open your eyes. You are no longer staying with your wife. You are having problems. Open your eyes. But he doesn't want to listen.
Do I get angry at him?
I said, I love you. I'm going to pray for you. Some of you are stubborn. You don't see. You need to change. Well, I pray God will open your eyes. So, this is my prayer for all of us. Lord, fill them with your knowledge so that you will see and they will see the reality.
Is God big? Yes or no? Is God bigger than our problems? Yes or no? How big is God? Louder. Bigger than my problem. Say that. Bigger than my problem. Alright, you have a problem? No more. I have a problem, but God is bigger than my problem. Look at what Bill Gates have to say. I think everybody should get rich, be famous, and do everything he can ever dream of so he can see it is not the answer to happiness. Here is a statement by the richest man today, Bill Gates. What did he say? Money will not make me happy. Popularity will not make you happy. Position will not make you happy. Possessions will not make you happy. But some of us are blind. You think having a boyfriend will give you happiness. You think if I have this position, if I have this title, if I have this job, I will be the happiest. Friends, you got to be filled with the knowledge of God's will, with the knowledge of God. Material things will never take the place of God in your life. At the end of your life, only a few things are really important. And God gave me the privilege of experiencing a little of it. Remember I shared with you, you prayed for me when I thought I had cancer in the lung, remember? Remember how it impacted my life? I faced death. By the way, one of our former members, Jay Belda, you pray for him. Jay Belda is now diagnosed as having lung cancer. Okay? The sister of Sandy, the brother of Sandy, well, the in-law of Sandy Daza. They're in Vancouver. But my heart goes out for him. But my friend, I want you to imagine, you face reality. Can I tell you something? If you were told you have lung cancer and you only have so many months to live, let me tell you. Number one, money will not be the most important thing anymore. Your position, no longer important. You are fighting with your friends, that is no longer important. You know what is important? Tell me. You begin to face reality. When I meet God, when I meet Jesus, what will God say? And that, my friend, is eternity. You begin to think of eternal things, not just temporal things. But your eyes have to be open. If your eyes are not open, you're going to keep on business as usual. God opened my eyes. All of this, all of the trials I went through, I praise God. I believe I became a better person. I'm not perfect. God wants us to grow. Look at this statement. Everybody read this. The vague and tenuous hope that God is too kind to punish the ungodly has become a deadly opiate for the conscience of millions. You know, Tozer said this years ago. Today people are going through life with wrong ideas. That's why their walk does not match the Bible. Because wrong information, wrong thinking produce what? Wrong behavior. So I ask all the teenagers, I ask all the businessmen, examine what you believe in. What you believe is very important. Especially what you think about God, especially what you think about who you are. Do you know who you are in the eyes of God? If you think you are a nobody, you will not value your life properly. If you think God does not care for you, you will not live in accordance with this standard. You are special. God loves you. You are an amazing creature. God created you for a special purpose. And that's why He tells us, His last prayer request, everybody read this, to be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father. You know, He prayed that they'll become what? Strong. That's where you have the word dynamite. Look at verse 11. The first word is strengthened. That's from the word dunamis. That's dynamite. And then with all power, another word for dynamite. In other words, if you were to literally translate this, dynamite with all dynamite. Wow. God wants you to be strong. Have you heard of this? Excuses? This excuse? Well, you know, I like to do it, but I cannot. I really don't have the strength. Yes or no? Now listen to me, everybody. Starting today, you better have no more excuses. You pray, Lord, give me the power. Everybody read. strengthened with all power. What kind of power? According to His what? According to His power, His glorious might. Not according to us. I cannot give you power, but God can give you. For what purpose? Steadfastness. Patience. It has to do with character. The power of God is not always opening the Red Sea. It's not always the dramatic. It is how you endure trials, how you endure problems. It has to do with endurance, steadfastness, patience. Steadfastness deals with circumstances. The word is hupomone. You are bearing under the weight of problems, but you don't give up. You are bearing it joyfully, understand? You are not pessimistic. You are excited. Lord, this is hard, but with your power, I'm excited. And then the next word is what? Patience. Patience deals with people. I don't know about you. Who irritates you? The cat or your wife? Who irritates you? People or animals? Louder. People. Welcome to the club. You know, it is unreasonable people, demanding people. Understand? It's people that irritates us. Yes or no? But listen to me. What is power? Power is able to transcend circumstances, able to transcend what? Hard people. Patience. You become thankful. You become joyful. So the sign of experiencing the power of God is thankfulness. Joyful thankfulness. Christians, are you happy today? Yes or no? Will you turn to your neighbor? Tell your neighbor, I am happy. Are you happy? Of course, you cannot say, I am happy. You know, it's hard to fake joy, okay? You know how you can be happy? Say, Lord, give me your joy. That is thy strength. The joy of the Lord. You know, I saw my friend there, and I asked permission from him. How you can rejoice in advance? You see, when I flew back last Friday, that night, I went to a funeral service. It was my friend's father, 86 years old. But do you know, for many, many years, they prayed for his salvation. Some of you are fasting and praying. Some of the children fasted and prayed. For years, for 80 plus years, he will not respond to the gospel. Now just imagine you are the children. You can go through life anxious, nervous, angry. How come God is not doing anything with my father? But no. The power of God gives you a different perspective. Do you believe God can change people? Okay. Louder.
Yes.
All right. What's your responsibility? Your responsibility is to change yourself, be a good testimony, and pray. So the family prayed for the father. But what blessed my heart was this. In the funeral, the writings of his father, 3 days before the father died, he wrote something. There were tubes in his mouth, so he cannot speak, but he can write. Do you know what he wrote down? 3 days before he died. You have to understand the culture here. For 80 plus years, he will not respond to the gospel. People have approached him. Many pastors have approached him. Many Christians have approached him. But God knows in his time. So just keep praying. 3 days before he died, he wrote down something. He said, Heavenly Father. Then he talked to Jesus. Also, Jesus, I am now your child. Amazing. Then he wrote, he said, will you release this body from pain that I may enjoy the life that is found in Christ for me? I don't know about you. If you ask me, that is the best testimony a man can have. Amen? Praise God, you know? The joy of the Lord is supernatural. If you have parents who are not yet believers, you will not know what's going to happen. It's never the end. You keep praying. Here, it's the last 3 days he gave that testimony. What's my point? Friend, God wants you to be joyful. And to be joyful, you got to learn to thank the Lord. What did he thank the Lord for? Look at verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance. Listen to me. Are you qualified to enter heaven? Yes or no? Louder.
Yes.
Now, if you are sure you're going to go to heaven, should you be rejoicing? Yes or no? I tell you. Thankfulness is a question of focus.
What do you focus on? Many people focus on what they do not have. Then they complain because they keep on looking at others, what others have and what they don't have. I'm learning something. Focus on what you have. Now, what do you have that money, that robbery, that people, trials, others cannot take away from you? Look at this verse. What do you have? Inheritance. How much is that inheritance? Is Bill Gates, is he rich? Louder. Do you like to share 10% of his income? 10% of his wealth? Yes or no? Are you not for me? Even just give me 0.0001% of the inheritance. You know what is 0.0001% of infinity? What is 0.001% of infinite riches? Hello? I'm testing your math. Point something of infinite amount is equal to what? Infinite. Tell your neighbor, man, you are rich, you are rich. Tell your neighbor, you are rich. Provided you know your inheritance. Why? He delivered us from the dominion of darkness, transferred us to the kingdom of his dear son. You know, with this I can rejoice. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Part two, remember last week I told you what happened to me? You know, I realized happiness is not dependent on circumstances, on people. Because when I was in the States, December 27th up to the New Year, everything about my plan went berserk. Everything. And I realized you can still be happy even if your plans are messed up. January 1, I planned to be with my family, to enjoy, to visit. I got sick the whole day. The whole night I couldn't sleep. January 2, that's New Year's Day, second day. I'm supposed to visit. I'm supposed to eat with them. Understand? Have you heard of In-N-Out Burger? Japanese food, Mexican food. You're supposed to enjoy. When you're on vacation, what are you supposed to do? Visit places, eat, spend time, go out in the park. I couldn't. Hospital. Operated. The next day, I was supposed to fly. Fly with my son to New York City to watch the play, to go to museum. Everything. Topsy-turvy. Cancel the flight. My whole plan was changed. But can I tell you something? My wife was correct. You can be joyful. You know why? I finally sincerely said, Lord, I thank you. When I said, Lord, I thank you, my whole attitude changed. I began to count my blessing. The presence of my wife brought me joy. In Tagalog, mababaw ng kaligayahan ko. The joy of my life became very simple. Watching my daughter, oh, I was smiling. My wife, my son-in-law, my son, before he left for New York, he visited me in the hospital and said, Dad, I'm sorry you cannot come. But man, I was so happy. You know why? The simple things of life. After I checked out of the hospital, I said, I wanted to eat something. I can eat something, of course. By the way, after today's fasting, don't go to buffet. Don't go. Just eat a little first, okay? But I tell you, my joy. Would you believe it? The next day, there was a typhoon in San Francisco. But I no longer complain. I stopped complaining. You know why? I began to enjoy the rain. I said, Lord, I'm reminded of the Philippines. Wow, typhoon and the rain. I was so happy. You won't believe this. Full of joy, even though I cannot, all my plans are messed up. But the simple thing, then I saw the rainbow. Wow, my wife said, look at the rainbow. You know, I get excited when I see rainbow. I have eyes. Man, I spell everything. I was so thankful. You know why? I was counting my blessing. And the truth is this, when I entered that hospital room, the possibility, I said, if I don't ever wake up again, I said, I'm excited also. Because I will see my Savior face to face. You see, this is the kind of joy that nobody can rob you of. The joy of knowing your sins are forgiven. The joy of knowing that you belong to the kingdom of God. And my friend, the simple thing of life. I brought my daughter to the airport because all my plans were messed up. Going back to the Philippines. I wanted to change my flight to come home earlier to be with my friend. But you know, the airport won't allow me to come early. He said, no. Your ticket is issued and the plane is full. Of course, this is Japan Airlines. From Philippine Airlines, maybe I can have some, you know. But I have no connect, you know, because the ticket is free. You know, when you are free, you just It's all points, points, points. Understand? So I cannot complain. So I check into the Holiday Inn. Would you believe it? When I check in, I was happy. Okay, reasonable price, Holiday Express Inn. But you know what they gave me? Sir, we have decided to upgrade you. Without me asking. So I went to see the room. Wow. Big room. Dining room. Living room. Conference room. Then I saw the view. The bay. Wow. San Francisco Bay. This is nice place. I told my wife, honeymoon again. Appendix honeymoon again. But you know. The simple thing of life. Understand? The simple thing of life. And then, the next day, I went to the airport. Can you upgrade me? No, I tried everything. I have called long distance for 2 hours talking to the, you know, person. No way we can upgrade you. Your ticket has been issued. Economy. But you know what? I asked people to pray. I asked somebody from the stage, please pray for me if I can be upgraded. You know, I talked to the Japan airline. They said, sir, no way, you cannot. They said, you talked to the Cathay Pacific. They issued the HMRs. So I went to the Cathay Pacific. No way. Cannot be, cannot be. You know, when people say cannot be, what do? In everything, what? Give thanks. It's okay, no problem. But you know what? I discovered something. When you surrender to God, you know, the manager said, just sit down here. Just sit down here. Let me see. Because they wanted me to call long distance again. I said, I've been calling for 2 hours already. I talked to them. Cannot be. He came back. Sir, no problem. You're upgraded. I began to cry. You know why I cried? Nobody knew this. But God was speaking to me. God is saying, in everything you give thanks. You may not know why I allowed you to have so much problem. But here is a little bonus, okay? Sweet. A little bonus. Business class. Oh, bonus. Then when I came home, I saw all of you. Do you realize I praise God for all of you? Man, praise God. So, this is what you need to learn. You need to pray. So what do you pray? Number one, knowledge. That all your wrong knowledge will be transformed. You need to study the Bible. Number two, you pray for the walk. But above all, you need to pray for power. Power to live the Christian life. And then the manifestation is thanksgiving. This morning, I want us to thank the Lord by partaking of the Lord's Supper.
Now, before we partake of the bread, let me pray for the bread. Oh, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord, we remember. We remember what you went through, Lord. And we thank you from our hearts. Thank you for allowing your body to be beaten, to have pain, to have those bruises, Lord, to be nailed on the cross. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for willingly sacrificing your body for us. Thank you for loving us so dearly, Lord. Oh, Lord, thank you that you have many more blessings in store for us. As we have accepted you in our lives, help us remember your sacrifice. Thank you for this time that you have invited us to join you into this supper. We love you, Lord. Amen. Let's partake of the bread together. Please hold up your cups. Father, as we look at the cup, we are reminded of the blood shed by Jesus 2,000 years ago. Father, thank you for your heart that you have sent your one and only Son to die on our behalf. Thank you that you love us so much, Lord. Lord, we want to love you more and more as the days go by. Give us wisdom, Lord. Help us. Help us know you more and more. And help us live lives pleasing to you. And lives that are so attractive to the lost that they would also want to have Jesus in their lives. Thank you, Father, for the shed blood of Jesus. We now partake of it and we remember, Lord, the shed blood of Jesus. Amen. Let's partake of this. Shall we applaud our God for this wonderful time with Him? Thank you.